بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإن تبدوا ما في أنفسكم أو تخفوه يحاسبكم به الله. Whether you conceal what's in your mind or you express it, Allah Ta'ala will call you to account. This verse brought a lot of concern to the Sahaba Ikram for expressing something that we are in control, we can keep it back, or we can express it. But now that which is concealed within the mind, are we going to be accountable for that as well? So they expressed their concern to Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a man for every occasion. And the essence of his ta'aleem was adab. And the essence of adab is you keep people happy without displeasing Allah Ta'ala. Keep people happy without displeasing Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Now sometimes there is some type of a clash. Overall, it is recommended for a woman to use hina. As Aisha did not say, that I don't use hina because the smell of this hina is not agreeable to Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But now see the understanding, that adab, that consideration. And really, the way to secure your reward or to escalate your reward is to add the ingredient of adab. You added that and your reward is just escalating. Your understanding amongst people is just improving. And your mind also is much more at ease. But add the ingredient of adab. What do I do to make people happy without displeasing Allah Ta'ala in any situation? Coming into the masjid, then this in adab. Ulaika ma kana lahum an yadkhuluha illa khaifin. Coming into divine presence, then come in a state of fear. From the day, from the time that you stepped out of your home, right until you reach the masjid, then in a state of concern. Whose house am I going to? What am I going to? Is it just a routine? Or is it a responsibility? Do I have that concern? Mentally, physically, have I have that concern? Or I'm just going through the motions? Right. One that has got the concern from the time he's making his wuzu at home, and then stepping out of his house, then his whole outlook will be different. His coming to the masjid will be different. His namaz will be different. Hence, every namaz will be a means of his progress and his improvement. Every namaz. The same will apply to Hajj and Umrah, right? Which Muslim doesn't want to go to Hajj and to Umrah, right? But the one that has prepared himself mentally, emotionally, physically, in the aspects of taqwa, then for him, it's too much for him. It's too much. أَوَّلَ بَيْتٍ وُدِعَ لِلنَّاسِ لَلَّذِي بَكَّتَ مُبَارَكًا وَهُدَى. For him, it's a treasure of barakat and hidayat. Barakah wa hudal lil alamin. Two of your obligations are at this point, namaz at this point, hajj at this point, right? So two of your obligations are done in this point. And then Allah Pak speaks about it, Mubarakah wa huda. It's got the blessings and it's got the hidayat. But then that requires that you are preparing for hajj and umrah to that level. Now in the ayats of hajj and umrah, there will be two commands that are very, very distinct. Right. If you look from وَأَتِمُّ الْحَجَّ and وَاتَّقُونِ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ, between those verses, you'll find about four times Allah Ta'ala emphasizing the lesson of taqwa. وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ. So what is this all telling you? Why? Be conscious. This is the place that the Anbiya had set foot on. The greatest of the Awliya had set foot on. The greatest of the Salihin had set on. Right? And today unworthy people are like us are here. Do we know the adab? Have we learned taqwa? Have we learned righteousness and virtue? And we just come here just to do a routine. So this is the one thing that is taught in this whole lesson of Hajj and Umrah. And the second lesson is, وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ. Again, in Surah Hajj, this ta'zeem of these symbols, respect of these important symbols, has been repeated about twice or thrice. So that's the essence. If you got this, then the trip was worth the while. You spent whether 10 million rand or 10,000 rand, but every step of the journey was worth the while. Hazrat Ji Rahmatullahi will give the story of Hazrat Rabia Basriya Rahimahullah. Ibrahim bin Adham is the contemporary. Ibrahim bin Adham Rahmatullahi is on his way for Hajj. And every now and then is performing two rakats of namaz. 5 steps, 10 steps, performing 2 rakats of namaz. Eventually he reaches up to the Baytullah. And in the Baytullah, you perceive a special type of nur, a special type of effulgence. You feel that, right? So that nur wasn't experienced. So he's wondering now, where is this nur gone to? I do experience nur at this place here, and on this journey, I don't see that nur that I normally see. And then was brought to his attention that this nur has gone to receive Hazrat Rabia Basriya Rahmatullah Ali. So now, in righteousness, وَتَعَوَنُوا سَابِقُوا, you have to excel, you have to compete with each other in righteous works. Now there must be something in Hazrat Rabia that brought her to that level where the Baytullah's nur came to receive her. We all go to receive the nur, and here the nur has come to receive her. So Ibrahim bin Adham was quite curious about what she is doing. Then he discovered that at every step, yeah, Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah is reading namaz at every few steps. And here her mind and her heart was in sajda in every step. Sajda means a total submission. Allah Ta'ala, jo tumhara hukam. Allah Ta'ala, tumhara hukam. And this lesson of submission is a long story of Gangohi Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, and then how he reached the level of ihsan, and then the route that was taken, submission. I was in Gangohi, my sheikh is in Makkah Mukarrama, but Mamuli nashist or barkhast, everything, I did it with consultation, everything. Now that's how you progress. Then me kuch nahi, meri rai kuch nahi, I'm nothing, and my understanding is nothing. Right? Who won't want to make umrah? Who won't want to make tawaf? But the greater thing, obviously, is Now the total submission to Allah Ta'ala, thereafter to his Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Al Usman al Ghani radiallahu anhu, on the occasion of Sulh Hudaybiyah, seeing adab, see. And that adab is now out. So then your reward is going to be decreased proportionately. There'll be some reward, but there's no life. See, like how Allah says, يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى. And then, لَا تُبْتِلُوا صَدَقَاتِكُمْ بِالْمَنِّ وَالْأَذَى. You're doing works, and your works are getting cancelled. Doing works, but the works are getting cancelled. And the cancellation is because of a deficiency of adab. And then we don't want to understand that this there's a deficiency, and are we rectifying it? And the whole idea is to get hidayat and get blessings. Mubarakah wa hudal linnas. So that is why you'll find that in the past, person is coming back from Umrah or Hajj, then there's a significant change in him. He's more concerned about the Sunnah, he's more concerned about his parents, he takes cognizance of his elders, he's becoming regular in his namaz, the Sunnah is visible in him. Right? But where, at which point, it starts off with adab and keeps on escalating adab. Adab and keeps on escalating. I found there's two things. One is adab, and one is the consciousness of halal and haram. And even if it's less, but it's halal, it's right, then inshallah there'll be divine protection. Now that's the second adab. One is halal and haram, and one is adab, right? And how it happens, how it works. كُلُوا مِن طَيِّبَاتِ مَا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ. And then, وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. Can you see that? Eat halal and don't follow the steps of shaitan. I put these two verses together. One place, كُلُوا مِن الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَأَمَلُوا صَالِحًا. And كُلُوا مِن الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. Can you see how it's working out? So if it's going to be طيب, halal, pure, clean, then you have got your defense, you have got your guards, and you just progressing. And where your mind has shifted from halal and haram to more, I got 5,000 and you get 10,000, 10,000 and you get 20,000, 20,000 and you get 30,000. Now to reach those projections, then you're going to make some compromise on this end or the other end, some way. But there is one isolated opinion that this is permissible. Somebody is saying it's permissible, so let's go with it. So then, you forgot the standards of halal and haram. When you forgot the standards of halal and haram, what happens? وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. Then as though you dropped your guards. When you dropped your guards, then you don't have the spiritual defense. Before, you were spiritually immunized. Nothing alien could get into you. Why? You had a guard of halal around you. And when you drop that guard now, everything, every wrong thought, every wrong motivation, everything now appeals to you. Some ghibah is taking place of someone that appeals to you. And you will think to yourself, no, I'm trying to help the person out. See how shaitan will play. I'm trying to help the person out, so I teach, listen to the story, so that I can assist him. But are you at that position where you can't dispense guidance, etc.? Everybody can't do it. Someone can do it, someone can't do it. Right? One is a general advice, people can do it, right? Personal, then only that person must do it, who himself is sound, absolutely sound. His elders, all of them are agreed, but this person is absolutely sound. And they are telling him repeatedly, go. So now he's absolutely sound. But otherwise, you're not sound yourself. When you're not sound yourself, then you are like the person, you know, when you came to live in Spingo, 1960 somewhere, you know. So, still young, had a liking for swimming, learning to swim. So you speak to the lifesavers, etc. So one line they would give, that you can be a professional swimmer and you can be a novice, right? So professional, you know how to handle the waters, you know how to calculate and analyze the situation, and you can move nicely, navigate, right? But if you are now novice and you're learning still to be a lifesaver, then they will tell you that you need to have a string strapped around and a radio. The moment you sense, you perceive the slightest of fear, your radio land and they will rope you out. They'll pull you out straight away. So now that is if you're a novice, you're still in the training process. Now, the same thing will apply spiritually. That if you're a novice still, then you need to be having the rope and the radio. And you don't have that, then you're good. And you will not understand that I'm a novice, I'm trying to pretend to be a professional. Now the professional knows, alright, this person is drowning, right? What must I do? So the professional, his whole approach to the saving will be different. What he'll do, he knows there are a few strokes that I need to strike the person with. Then he'll be like, I'm semi-conscious, then it's easy for me to just drag him out. But if the situation is that he's drowning and he's fully conscious, right, then the chances will be that he's frantic. He's a ghabrat, in a state of ghabrat, he's frantic. When he's frantic and I'm trying to save him, he chances are that he'll pull me and he'll drown me. He'll drown and I'll drown with him. See that? He'll drown and I may drown just with him. So I'm not at the level of professionalism. I mustn't go and experiment these things here. Some days back, so traveling, returning from Marisburg somewhere, so we had to read our Isha Namaz. So we stopped somewhere. And now, I'm seeing now, one person maybe seen Zikr al-Jahri 2-3 times, he's seen it, and he's sending it. The whole crowd sits on the off the light in the masjid, and they're sending it. Who allowed them? Who instructed them? Who taught them? Anybody taught them? No. See, now there's, one is a general zikr that is endorsed by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? When it's endorsed, then everybody can practice it. And one is the zikr that is given from person to person. Right? When it's from person to person, then it needs some type of a license. Like you see, a note, right? A note. It's got the government endorsement, right? It's got a government endorsement. It is recognized wherever you go. So that zikr that you got here, right, has it got an endorsement? Endorsement means that the sheikh, has he taught you, has he prompted you? You just start off. Every making zikr now, la ilaha illallah, getting the feelings now, I'm winding, I'm sending it. Why? For the feelings. And who endorsed you? Oh, zikr, so what's wrong in zikr now? See that first step is wrong. Why it's wrong? Because you employ your own reasoning. And when you employ your own reasoning, you don't realize, you don't have a zikr that is endorsed. When it's not endorsed, then it won't have that effect. If it's endorsed, then the sheikh has been endorsed by his seniors. And his seniors been endorsed by their seniors, and so forth, until it comes right to the end. So one has authorized the other, and is coming to that. See? So it's a divine enforcement. Like the note, it's endorsed. When it's endorsed, it's recognized everywhere. So now, yours, is it endorsed? When it's not endorsed, then it's not going to be having that effect. And all this comes again to the one point, but there's no fanaya. Mere ji mein koi baat aa gayi, something came to my mind, let me roll it. The new istilah nowadays is, came to mind, let me roll it. Let me send it. First to say send it, now say let me roll it. It's a new term that's been rolled out. So, the whole thing revolves around adab. The whole thing, Mustafa Rahmatullahi, when he started the bayan on adab, Deen adab ka naam hai. Deen sara ka sara adab ka naam hai. What is deen? It's all about adab. What is adab? I don't do my own thing. I listen to my elder. What will my elder say? How does he feel about it? What is his take on this thing? As the Shaykh Murtai says, that I became of marriageable age. Right? And I was getting proposals. Right? Alhamdulillah, we get it here sometimes. Some students start getting proposals for them, right? Alhamdulillah, it happens. But don't become overconfident. We also receive some proposals. Right? So the Shaykh says, Rahmatullah Alayh, that I began to receive proposals. And my father began to bounce it off with me and see some proposals have come for you from this Nawab and this wealthy person and so, right? So the Shaykh said, hey, you know, I don't want that. Father asked him now, see, father is making the Islah. And the Islah has to do with the mind. See, how is the mind shaped? Abu Sulaiman Darani, he says, by more than the amal is the adab. And the adab is shaping of the mind. Get the mind right. Now, how important is it to get the mind right? So, the father is correcting the son. Yahya is correcting the Shaykh al-Mutalib. So, but you turn down the proposal, what is the reason? He says, you see, if I get married to this wealthy apas, right, telling my own words, right, so then she'll be sitting on a charpai, on a bed, right, on a couch, and every now and then I have to spoil her, take this trophy, take this man, take this thing here, take that. Now, we have got the time to make all this magajmari. I can't do all these things here. Now, see the father's correction. Now, all these things, they will take it as a joke. But yeah, these people, from the beginning till the end, everything was deen. Right? Something is taught, but a little bit of a cheerful environment, and sometimes it's taught with a little bit of seriousness. But the idea is to get the mind right. Once the mind is right, then everything is moving. And small, small things, they are correcting them. So, Yahya, that's the father says, you know, when I was your age, then I also received proposals. So, Mawla asked him, then what was your response when you received those proposals? He says, you know, I received those proposals, but I used to turn them down because I would think to myself, you know, that phir chatayon ke upar baithna naseeb nahi hoga. Now I'm so comfortable sitting on a chatai, on a straw mat, right? And then I won't have the honor of sitting on a straw mat. I won't have that. Now the father is correcting the child, and he says, you show me whose answer has got modesty, respect, adab, and humility. Show it to me. See that. And the Shaykh Ramadan says, thereafter he says, now this is for us to think. See, al-tasawwufu kulluha adabun, ad-deenu kulluha adabun. It's all about adab. And we don't realize. And we don't realize that what we're doing is we're impeding the progress. What you could cover in 2 days, sometimes it's taking 20 years to cover. Right? As more time is up, rahmatullah, I'm showing how it happens, right? But we don't want that serious. Why we don't want that serious approach is because we want that the Shaykh must say things that is appeasing to us. And if it's something not appeasing to us, then we're not worried. We just chuck him, we just don't show that level of loyalty, that level of respect. Why? Because it's not appeasing. Now he's cheeky, he's saying other things now, and then we can't enjoy the relationship with him. So the Mawlana Tahir comments on this. Now this is happening from his time. He says, "Phir to ye admi apna mu'taqid hai. Sheikh ka mu'taqid nahi. He has got confidence in himself. He doesn't have confidence in the Sheikh. Because he wants the Sheikh to relate to him in a manner that he feels appeased. Not the Sheikh feels appeased. When a doctor is seeing a patient, then what's of essence, what's more important? The doctor's satisfaction, the doctor is clear, he feels it's right, and he's got experience, he's got an understanding, or the patients. The patient may be shouting, crying, getting an injection. Hey, what are you doing? Doctor is comfortable. He's crying and he's shouting. Blood is coming out. Can't see what's happening. And the doctor is comfortable. He knows what he's doing. And he knows in 1 hour, 2 hours time, everything will settle. He knows what he's doing. So, when you're coming here for Islah, then come with a frame of mind. Then it's a joy to make Islah, really. It is a joy to work with the person. It's cheer, it's joy. And you can see the progress. You can see, hey, man, is this progressing. So then, what has happened, the first step was right. The step was fana. Fana means, I got no mind of my own. Simple words, I got no mind of my own. My senior knows about it. He knows, whatever he says, we'll move with that. I don't have a mind of my own. And I enjoy that. I'm not doing it, because now again I have to ask him. I enjoy that. Whatever he says, let me go with it. Brother says that when he's about 17, 18, so he wrote a letter to Mawlana Raipuri Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, about 5-6 great Buzurgana Deen of India at that time. One of them was Mawlana Raipuri Rahmatullah Alayh. In the meanwhile, the Sheikh's father got to know that I wrote a letter to Mawlana Raipuri. It's one of the 5-6 greatest awliya of that time. Now look at the father's response. Father's response is, Are Baba to abhi tak zinda hai aur tune janda istiklal ko buland kar diya. See the words. See, your father is still around, and already you began to act as though you now independent of him, you can do what you want. But I ask you, what he did was wrong. It looks so nice. He spoke to a buzurg, he wrote a letter. Anyway, Sheikh said, I understood the lesson. Now, it was a reproach, a reprimand. But my ethical, my kind of confidence was on him, not on myself. So therefore, I took it as a blessing. I didn't take it as a smashing down process. I took it as a blessing. Then, the Sheikh says, then I came at about 1920. And then one day I complained to him, well, you know, before every small thing I would do, and I would get corrected, I would get shouted, and I'm afraid now, you're not showing me that type of tawajju and dhyan like you showed me before. But before, there's all focus, I get smashed down, reprimanded, reproached for everything. And now I'm not getting that type of attention. So now see again, see the mind is being corrected, it's being designed. And perhaps Allah wants me to speak about this, because we are approaching the month of Ramadan. And everybody wants some change. Like I say, a visit to a masjid can be a turning point. A visit to the Baytullah can be a turning point. But show the adab. And then you see, pyuta mazai mazai, pyuta lutfi lutfi, right? And the whole tasawuf is just joy. But that first point is just make fana. That's the first point. That is the most difficult one. Sometimes it takes 10 years, 20 years to just understand fana. Some people take 30 years just to understand the concept of fana. But now, what do we do? Before that, we can't do anything about it. In order to mix daga, right, I need the sand to be crushed to powder. Add water, add cement, right? Now you can get it. But now, that is still hard as a rock, and you want to make it daga. Can it work? You have to crush it down. Crush it, fine tune the thing. Then add the water and the cement, and then now see how it's working. No, just use me as, don't crush me, I'm getting smashed down, broken down, and you want to make me now. Phir kya kaisa kaam hoga, kis tarah se? Tamiri kaam, you want this whole construction to go up. How will it go up? Tell me how it goes up. So now nobody wants that, you see. And therefore now the process is just getting delayed one way. Now, obviously, it brings a little bit of hurt. This person has so much of potential. He would have done so much in a short time. And he didn't just do the progress. One Nawab of that time, you know, more time than time, he came to take bi'at. But the first stroke, this will, others used to say that what I try to instill in the first sitting is, the man must have some fikr. Because fikr se kaam banta hai. When he's got fikr, then he can progress. But there's no fikr, how can he progress? Child came to madrasa, he's coming to class, not coming to class, sleeping away, coming when he wants to, no fikr, brides, eating nicely, relaxing nicely. Can he progress? You can progress if there's fikr. Sometimes the ustaz have to force the progress, the fikr. By tomorrow is the imtihan. And this is continuous assessment. That marks will be taken and seen in the end. Now that he's got fikr, hey, now my father will see the report, mother will see it, my friends will see it, and hey, what an embarrassment. But now where that progress started off from? Fikr. So Mu'ayyah used to say that what I would like to see in that first encounter, first meeting, and I must pass on that fikr. Once that I have passed on that fikr, now that fikr will drive him. But he didn't pass on the fikr, what's going to drive the person? Or just make some zikr, finish kalas. I didn't pass on that fikr to him. Is there anything there that's going to drive the person? Now the sheikh says, hey, you are a very good person. You, both are charting here. So is there going to be any movement, any shifting of fikr? So, but you don't wake up, you'll go Jahannam. See, you don't wake up, you don't get up, you're going to go Jahannam. Now, that fikr has been shifted. The fikr is shifted, now he's moving. So now this Nawab Sahib now, not wealthy, ultra wealthy, that time ultra wealthy. He's coming Nawab's time. To take Biyat with Hazrat Mawlana Thani Sahib Rahmat Talib. Mawlana's mind is that first mulaqat and that fikr must be passed on. A lot of times, the first time in my life I'm explaining this, right? A lot of times I try to use other approaches. And it doesn't work out so well. But if I use the Thanvi style, it works out. But I'm jogging my mind. And where this thing came from. So in the last mulaqat that I made with Haji Rahmatullahi, something's happened, I don't mention all that. But I was a little bit stunned, you know. A little amazed. So Hazrat passed his Mubarak hands over my whole body like this. I said, Hazrat Mawlana Thani Sahib Rahmat ke tareeqe ke upar. So I felt now that Christians would say baptism, right? You won't say baptism. But it was some tawajjuh that he may have passed on. So now, if I work on that style, then I get some results and I get it moving. But if I try another permissible approach, then I don't get the results that I would desire. So now, what do I do? So, Mawlana is now working on this person. If you understand this person is coming in Nawab style, came in for bayat, and you are a khadim, and the khadim, the whole big potlau of mitais and whatever. Nawab style, expensive mitais. One on mitais, 100 rupees, 200 rupees. He's got that. Now after the bayat, I'm going to be a joyous occasion. I'm going to distribute this Nawab style. Now, Hazrat is reading the whole situation. It's bayat now, and bayat requires that there must be some fikr, some shifting of thought, right? Some your thinking process must be different. So Hazrat says, after the work was over, so Hazrat says to him, "Arey, bade afsos ki baat hai, us dusre mahalle mein mujhe kuch kaam hai, kaam reh gaya hai, wahan par ja kar ke dekh lenge. On the other end of the street, I got some work there, and we'll see about the biyat, right? In the meanwhile, the khadim brought that big case, big tray of mitai and all that. He did his work and he's gone." So now, this is a stranger's house, he can't leave the mitai here. Now he's got the Nawab style, he's got the status, people look at him in a different eye, and now he's walking the street, and Mu'ayyah deliberately took that street where people know him. Got a big tray of mitai on his head, and he's moving on. You see, that first encounter, and Mu'ayyah is passing on the fikr. Alright, there's another statement of Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullahi. So he would say to the Khulafa of Hazrat Mawlana Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullahi, say when he passed away, that see, itne hakeemul ummat na bano, to itne tashaddud ki zaruwat nahi. you're not at that level, then you don't be so hard. So now this firmness is for that person who is at that level. But you're not at that level, then don't pretend to be what you aren't. And I'm telling you that if I use any other approach, I can't see it working. And I use this approach, I see it working. So kya kar? I'm not only working, but I seem to be agreeable. See, otherwise, I know I'm playing around with this person. So I'll make some zikr, I'll make dua for you. Because I can see that the client. The client doesn't want anything hard. So what else can you tell him? Tell him something easy that he can manage and he can carry on. Because he's not a committed client. It's a committed client that you teach him something else. But he's coming without any commitment, then you're not going to be committed to him. You can see the person, you can size the person, and you package the commodity accordingly. Now, Mora hardly left this person, the second person. Achha, achha. Aisa ho gaya ke aur kuch kaam yaad aa gaya. Now, something else also is playing on my mind. I need to go to the other end. Yeah. Now, Mora is pushing him to his paces, you know. Anyway, the third stopped now, and Mora eventually took him for bayat. This Nawab says, you know, that takabbur and that pride that was in me, it would have only been smashed off in about 20 years. And Mora got it smashed down in one sitting. And what a big rock he had got off the way. A whole big impediment was on the way. In one stroke he got it off. Mora then would say, someone exclaimed, lekin Hadi sahab rahmatullah ki yahan aisi sakhti nahi thi jis tarah se aapki yahan hai. Hadi sahab rahmatullah wouldn't be so firm like how you would be. So Mora says, yeah, sahi baat hai. He won't refute, says, sahi baat hai. Lekin Hadi sahab ki yahan to barkat thi. Aur hamare paas barkat nahi to hamare paas faqat harkat hai. Hadi sahab would get things with barkat. He had that barkat. He could do things and Allah could just make it happen. One person is coming to Hadi sahab rahmatullahi and he says, Hadi sahab, main bayat to le raha hu aapke haathon ke upar, lekin namaz to padhunga nahi. I won't make namaz. Kisne kaha aapko namaz padhne ko? Who told you to read namaz? Anyway, namaz time came. Now a certain skin allergy, the way it's itching, he can't hold it. Trying this ointment and that Vaseline and that medication, nothing working. So, alright, let me use water. Hey, now he's washing his face. This is already relief. Hands is relief. Say, now only my feet is left. Let me wash my feet. Now he did his wuzu. When it performed his, now I got my wuzu, let me do my namaz. Now the whole body has settled. Zuhar namaz is done. Now, a certain time again that he came in. That each came in again. Now, when I did the same thing, that ish went away. Arey Haji sahab, mujhe pehle se kare the ki namaz padho. Mujhe chakkar bhi le liya. Chakkar de diya. You know, told me just read namaz. I gave me a chakkar. And now that ish is coming. So Haji sahab had that barkat. And that barkat would push the person. The idea is to get you onto the sunnah. You're not doing the sunnah, so somehow they need to get you into the sunnah. Aur hamare paas wo barkat nahi, Haji sahab desi. We don't have that barkat. So we have to move people, we have to shake people up. Get them onto the work, get them onto the paces. So we are talking of the Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali and his father telling him after some time, you know, when he complained, you know, that before you should shout me and get me to do things, work, go to things. And now you don't show me that, now you show me some respect. You know, at that other age when I was younger 3 years ago, then you shout me, you smash me down at times, do a lot of things. And now you're showing me respect, you're not reproaching me, perhaps your shafqat and your compassion has decreased. So he said, no, my shafqat has actually increased, it hasn't decreased. But then why you're not shouting, why you're not reproaching, why you're not smashing me down now? So they see this smashing down, all that, is until your nisbat has become strengthened. Until your connection with Allah Ta'ala has become absolutely strong. When that nisbat is like, it's so sound, then it's like this pillar. It's rooted so deep, right? Now, under normal circumstances, can you expect this pillar to shift? conscious. It's now it's rooted very well. Come what may, rain, storm, hurricane, that thing still remains. Now that's nisbat. Now that nisbat is now, alhamdulillah, by the grace of Allah, that is rooted very well. It is rooted now, kisi halat ki wajah se kisi kisam ka taghayyur nahi aayega. There won't be any change in you. Now you're going and you're going very, very steady. So I'm not scared about you any longer. Now that was now after years, when the man that was training was like the buzurg of the time, Yahya Sahib Rahmatullahi. Because the people that he trained was one as a sheikh, then one as Anpuri Rahmatullahi. So the people that he trained, they were like giants of the time. They were the people of the time. Was Zafar Sahib, all his training. Alright, then they moved on to Thami Sahib Rahmatullahi, but initial was this thing here, right? But anyway, we're talking of this ayat. وَإِن تُبْدُوا مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوْ تُخْفُوا يُحَاسِبْكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ. Whether you conceal or you express it, Allah is going to call you to account. So that brought a lot of consternation, a lot of fikr, anxiety in the Sahaba Kiram. Because expressing, we have control. We can express, we can hold back. But the thoughts that pass the mind, we don't have any control over it. But are we going to be held accountable for this? So on that occasion, Rasulullah Basan taught them adab. Right. What was the adab that he taught them at that occasion? سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا غُفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرُ. You know, you just want to kiss Rasulullah Basan. The perfection, everything is contained. There isn't a thing that is not in his teaching. Everything is in his teaching. So, though your mind cannot perceive it, right? Though your mind cannot perceive it, but look at Lillahi ma fis samawati wa ma fil ardh, the starting of, right? That everything belongs to him. When it belongs to him, it is his right, his prerogative. He can do as he pleases. He's not answerable to anybody. Right? Like if it's your land, right, you can do as you please. He can't come and ask you, why are you building like this? Why are you not building this in my land? Why? If you know what's good for you, you're going to stay in your house. Won't you say that? It's my house, let me do what I want to do. Now, that house also didn't belong to you, it belonged to Allah Ta'ala. But he gave you a little bit of a right to do as you please, right? And now here the sole owner is Allah Ta'ala. Doesn't he have the right to do as he please? The sole owner is not answerable to anybody. We are still answerable. Right? And is Allah Ta'ala answerable to anybody? He's not answerable to anybody. So doesn't he have the right to command as he wishes? So if he says, I'm going to hold you answerable for this, then you cannot ask why. You can't ask. You cannot ask why. Now, understand that thinking, thoughts, internalizing, right? Internalizing is of three categories. For two categories, you will be answerable. The first category is your belief. Belief is not just iqrar bil lisan, it's also tasdeeq bil qalb. It's not just an expression with your tongue. More of it is your heart as it accepted it. Because the tasdeeq bil qalb, see that the tasdeeq bil qalb, your heart agreeing, that is not negotiable under any circumstance. That belief has to remain in your heart, in your mind, not negotiable. It can't be relaxed at any situation. The verbal pronouncements can be negotiated and can be relaxed when you are under coercion, when you are under desperation, life-threatening, right? Then you said one, two words just to appease and comfort the situation, it's all right, right. At gunpoint, someone asks you to say some words, and you uttered those words, you will still be muffed, right? Because the command is relaxed at that time. But what's within can be relaxed at any time. Can't be relaxed, because nobody can see what's in your heart. When nobody can see what's in your heart, that there's no relaxation for, no concession for that. وَإِن تُبْدُوا مَا سِي سَوْ one, at one level, there's no relaxation, there's no concession, absolutely nothing. That's your, all the articles of faith. In all your articles of faith, you need to understand that that must be straight, no concession, no relaxation, no deviation, absolutely nothing. I was surprised, as Mufti Muhammad Shafi'i Sahib Rahmatullahi, he's quite a very relaxed person. He won't make some emotional statements. How we do, right? Sometimes emotional, we just make those statements. But in his statements, he was very relaxed, very, very, very calm, composed. Now, he's seeing what's going on in Pakistan around the 50s and 60s, because that's the time that he moved to Pakistan. He says, my opinion is this, that if any person that is graduated at a university, he comes for a proposal, don't just accept it. Because the chances are 60, 70 out of 100, the chances is that his faith may be affected because of the studies. But they're teaching all type of things. Sometimes Darwinism, feminism, etc., etc. They're teaching all these things. They're talking about it. And that student that is there, he can subscribe to it. Because the way they're planning the thing and passing it on to the student is still young, impressionable mind. He is just taking it, hook, like and sinker, just taking it, grabbing it. So he must be going for all these type of things. For going for Big Bang, going for Darwinism, going for feminism. So my normal response to all this is these are all extensions to Satanism. Whether it's Darwinism, whether it's evolution, whether it's Big Bang. Big Bang because everything just happened with the bang. Allah Pak didn't create it. That or feminism. All of it is just an extension of Satanism. So I did say this, and one alim objected, how can you say it's an extension to Satanism? I said, do you understand what is Satanism? Well, he doesn't know. Because no book will show you what is the definition. So I should see from the Quran Sharif, what is Satanism? Satanism, the very essence of it is, to employ your reasoning against the command of Allah Ta'ala. Istidlal bi mukhalafati nas. Asjudu liman khalaqtu bi yaday. Asjudu liman khalaqtu. Liman, kya? Qala asjudu liman khalaqta. Must I prostrate? Wa ana khayrun min. And I'm superior. So what did he do? He employed his reasoning against the command of Allah Ta'ala. Now all this is found in Darwinism, Satanism, feminism. Because in feminism also, that reasoning is being employed against the command of Allah Ta'ala. Why? Because they are talking of gender equality. And what is the Quran say, Sharif saying? Ar-rijalu qawwamun, men are leaders. Men are supposed to be giving the lead. Leaders doesn't mean that you must now extort them, manipulate them. No, no. It means that they are weaker, so you must lead them, give them the guidance. Our child, you don't take advantage and extort the child, but out of affection, you lead the child because he is deficient. So the woman is deficient sometimes, all the times, emotionally, and mentally she is deficient, right? So she can't make up her mind very easily. So a man has to drive her. See, he's the driver. So he's not taking advantage over her, but he's being affectionate and compassionate towards her. Now, I understand that there's a weakness, and I need to drive this person here, otherwise she will collapse, she will fall. Now, against that, what they're saying, no, equality. In the inheritance, there must be equality. Community of property, there must be equality. So, what is happening effectively is the reasoning is going against the command of Allah Ta'ala. And that I say is an extension to Satanism. Right? And people don't realize it. So what, it's just my inclination, it's my tendency, so what? What's so great about it? See? Again, see, when you try and show them that it's wrong, It's an extension to Satanism. Again, they don't use their brains. But so what's wrong in it? Because it's just my mind. You know, I think like this. It's just a natural tendency. What's wrong? So anyway, I say this internalization, you know, internal thinking is of three levels. One is at the level of faith and articles of faith. There you don't experiment, no negotiations. There you just say, Sami'na wa ata'na. We hear and we obey. We submit totally without asking, without any hesitation, any reservation. فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ. They give in this total submission without any reservation, any resistance, no resistance, absolute. لَا يَجِدُوا فِي حَرَجًا فِمَّا قَضَيْتَ. Whatever Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam decide, no reservation, no resistance, absolutely. And we sallimu taslima, and happily we cheer. Not just, you know, I have to do it, I'm doing it. No, with absolute cheer. That's the iman. So, when we talk about internal, then there's three levels. One, I showed you faith. And what is the essence of faith? That you just accept it because it's a command of Rasulullah Pak Sassan, and he was commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we take it on that. And we will not ask any question after that. Why like this and why not like that? Why she must get half of what I get? I don't know. I just need to verify, is it the command of Allah Ta'ala or not? And I'm going to go by that. Now people are saying, no man, you know, the husband is taking advantage over the girl, so we won't give her a right. We won't give her a right because the husband is taking advantage, so we won't give her a right. Right? So they're not giving the right wife because the husband is taking advantage. So they're holding back. When they're holding back, I ask you, who's taking advantage over her wealth? You take advantage now. See that? Now, the wrong that you're doing, you're not talking about. And the possible wrong, you're talking about that. The possible wrong, that you're talking about. But the wrong you are doing, you need to pass on to her what belongs to her. No, I'm not giving it to her because the husband will take advantage. So who's taking advantage over her now? So you see, it's iman. This iman is on the line. And people are taking it very, very casually. They're not concerned about it. The second aspect that is internal again is the articles on the right character, right values. That's also you answerable for, right? Now, let's give you some explanation, right? Now, in the things that are related to the heart and mind, one is ostentation and show, right? So I won't be doing things to tell you that I'm doing it for show. Do I need to tell you? But my intention is now, I need to get that wedding more fabulous, right? More grand than what you did it. You spent only half a million. I was splashed for 10 million. Say you are a kebab in front of me, man. What you are? Nothing. كَالَّذِي يُنْفِقُ مَالَهُ رِئَاءَ النَّاسِ. Right? Showing off people. فَمَثَلُوا كَمَثَلِ صَفْوَانٍ عَلَيْهِ تُرَابٌ. So then, there's absolutely no blessings, no rewards. Like, take an example of a solid rock, right? Kabbalah says, عَلَيْهِ تُرَابٌ. There is some soil there. So some farmer thought of doing some farming there, because there was some soil above that hard rock, right? فَأَصَابَهُ وَابِلٌ فَتَرَكَهُ صَلْدًا. But heavy rain got that. And then, everything is washed away. It's got anything. So he thought he's got much, but one rain, everything was washed out. See that? Now you did it, why? Just for ostentation and for show. So kya faida hua? You're doing some charitable work, and the whole world must know about it. But why? What's the need to display? Sometimes there is a genuine need to do it openly. In tubdu mafi, tufu, or tubduha, right? For us, charitable works, just do it openly. But otherwise, you don't have to display everything what you are doing. Why must you make a display of everything that you are doing? Sometimes, it is to do with pride and arrogance. This also is internal, isn't it? That is also internal. لا يحب كل مختال فخور. Allah hates them. Because majesty and greatness is my prerogative. Allah says, it's my prerogative. You are taking it away from me, it's mine, it's my clothing. Like imagine, it's my upper garment and my lower garment. If someone were to pull your lower garment, you remain still. So it's my garment and you're pulling it away from me. What will you do? Allah will break you. فَخَسَفْنَا بِيَا بِدَارِ الْأَرْضِ. When he was proud, Allah just sunk him into the earth. See that? So, this is internal again. And the internal, how important it is to correct it. And I say it repeatedly, you can't correct it yourself. You will have to go for a proper scan, MRI scan, and they will show you got pride, right? Go and check yourself out. Now you go and ask the doctor, what's the proof, what's the dalail that I got a heart problem? You don't listen to me, go move. Because a lot of patients waiting for me. You don't trust me, move on, carry on. Until then, when you get a major struck, when you struck major, they will come back again crying. Okay, see that, but now, this is where it comes from. Then again, the internal problem is jealousy and malice, right? Now, دَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ دَاءُ الْأُمَمِ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ الْحَسَدُ وَالْبَغْضَاءُ تَعَكُلْ الْحَسَنَاتِ. That also wipes you out. Everything is eaten up. What? Jealousy and malice. Right. Why is this man is favored? Everything he's touching is just becoming gold. Why is favored? Now I'm trying here, nothing's working out for me. Allah will smash him down. Allah will break him. See it. I don't wish well for you. You can see people are talking about you now. So the more they're talking about you, the more hurt I'm feeling. And the day you are smashed down, then I'm rejoicing. Hey, I see now, Allah put him in his place. So when you smash down, I'm rejoicing. And when you are escalating, then I'm feeling hurtful for you. And in the middle of what's happening, everything, getting ta'akul hasanat, eating up completely, wiped out. But what are these things? Are they internal things or external things? They're all internal things. And as I say, we're coming to Ramadan, but get the minds right. What you need to clear out, clear out. For your own sake. Otherwise, there's no progress here. You can't come here for the batin, to get that thing right. And the batin, the first step is sana. You're not going to get that, you're not getting it. You'll make some namaz, zikr, have some dream and all that, but enough. That's your tasawuf. What's your tasawuf? Get one dream, some experiences, and that's your tasawuf. You feel relaxed about it. غير اختياري كو مقصود سمجھ رکھا. It's all, things are not within your volition. Don't go behind it. Yes, it's an encouragement. It's an encouragement. We take it as an encouragement. Don't take it beyond that. It's not an endorsement. So you see the first level of internalization and the second level. Then you get the third level. The third level is all type of stray thoughts pass the mind. Hey, this thought, that thought, whatever thoughts, right? So there are stray thoughts. One is the thought that you also will entertain. Yeah, that mama that is working for me, you know. I think my wife has go for a holiday, you know. So you're entertaining those thoughts. You know that my secretary, she's smart, you know. But I must show something about Islam, you know. She'll come closer. I must talk to her nice and sweetly. Now sometimes I need to give her a gift so she'll come towards Islam. But there's other 10 people working there, they don't need to come near to Islam. This one, she needs to come near to Islam. She's the nafs, the subtle play of the nafs. Now who will detect these things here? You want to be open and you want to speak, these things will come up. And you're going to speak about it, it's going to remain. Then today is a small, small germ. Tomorrow it turns out it's a python then. See that malice, and how it works, and how it drops you down. Ta'akul hasanat. Clean swipe, everything is wiped off. So, those memories, you entertain this. And I tell you this, explicit is wrong, is haram. Like, if someone had to fantasize about your wife, you say, you're very good, you're doing something, it's just an internal thing, so it's alright. Will you have that? No, why? Watch out. I'll break your feet for you. If it was legal, I would have done something else to you, right? Because it's your wife, it's your daughter, and he's doing this. This internalizing, he's just fantasizing. So the level, the last level, where you're not going to be answerable, is what? Is three thoughts, without your volition, without your choice, just passing your mind. All type of scattered thoughts are just passing. For that you're not answerable. Now the Sahaba Ikram felt very much relieved. But they complied to the levels of adab, sami'na wa ata'na. And then in the madah, in the praise of the Sahaba Ikram, Allah praise, amana rasulu bima unzila ilayhi min rabbi wal mu'minun is Sahaba Ikram. They all believed. Allah is praising them. But that was only after conformity to the adab. Allah is praising them.